Amen. All right, Pastor Gregory Jackson, it seems like we're almost all back. You just let us know whenever you're ready to start.
Okay, well, I'm ready to start. You know, I like to walk through the crowd and touch the hands of the people. And I'm going to start this time because I've been thinking about this particular prophetess. I've been thinking about her since Pastor Deborah introduced me to her and told me to look at her, look good, look good. You know, you can see prophet. And it was my introduction to the master prophet sister, Prophetess Novella Coleman. God bless you, woman of God. How you doing this morning?
I am well and well, Prophet Gregory Jackson.
Amen. Well, I was like, now, how could I have missed that? You know, I would call myself not being nosy, because sometimes we can walk around and just have our third eye open and looking at folks and being peering and nosy. But I was not trying to be nosy, and that day, anybody can see that you and the Archbishop are definitely sister
Pastor
and brother.
Pastor Gregory, you're thinking of Prophetess Ovella.
Oh!
That's not her. The name is very familiar.
Okay, well, no, you know what? I'm still not trying to be nosy. Look at that. Jesus. Wow and wow. But I've often thought about that. I've thought about that, and I just woke up with it this morning. Then I said, wow, this is my chance to talk with the sister of the master prophet. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Novella, Prophetess Novella, what you got going on over there that your spirit is just moving this way?
Well, God is good, and I'm definitely completely connecting to Master Prophet and being more involved. And maybe that's what it was, Prophet Gregory Jackson.
I'm sure that's what it is, because I'm sitting up here, I'm trying to make you the sister of the Prophet Naomi. What's the Master Prophet sister's last name?
Bilal, B-I-L-A-L.
Okay, Bilal. Amen. All right, Ovella Bilal. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Jesus, you know what? I was laughing because one of those dancers, remember we had those dancers that came in. The dancers came in and danced so nicely. So on the way out, the next day, one of a little petite chocolate dancer ran up to me and said, is that you on the poster? I'm like, no, that's the master prophet. And then she started laughing. She said, y'all favor. I said, girl, with it. You better put some more inches. I'm too short to be the master prophet. What are you talking about? My God. But, you know, sometimes we get confused for people. But I'm like, on the poster, I said, Jesus, no. But that's just what it is. All right, well, I want to greet the prophets individually myself. God bless you, Prophetess Terry Stinson. How is everything in the British Columbia? I heard y'all have wildfires out there.
God bless you, Prophet Gregory Jackson. Yes, yes. So I was going to pray that on Midnight Cry last night, and I forgot. So, yes, there's many wildfires. So I'm just praying about that right now, that, you know, they'll be able to be quenched and be minimal, you know. So, yes, that's happening right now.
Amen, amen. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what. I'll give you the grace and the space right now to go ahead and say something over that. Because what we say, people will see as prophets. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And so, Father, I do decree and declare that right now, that be with the firefighters as they fight these fires that are happening right now, and give them protection and ability to put out the fires so that there is indeed minimal damage, Lord God, and keep the people safe and protect their families and homes and even the wildlife, Lord God, the horses running and the cows and all that. Just have your protection upon all, Lord God, and intervene in this situation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in advance for your protection and intervention in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. And we stand with you as a company. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, Prophetess Monica Higgins, God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, Prophet Jackson. How are you?
I am doing super duper. How about yourself? Tell us what's concerning you in today as we touch your hand.
Well, I have a planned day that I will be doing a part of God's work. I'll be volunteering somewhere where if you are in New York, maybe we would see each other. But otherwise, I am blessed, and I'll be, you know, just going through the day worshiping and just giving him thanks because he's just such a good God.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, you can always volunteer somewhere around this ministry. Yes, yes, start right here. Start right here with the Master Prophet. Amen.
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right. Jesus. All right. Let me see. If I miss you, because I wrote down most of the people. Prophet Cindy Philemon, are you still here, woman of God? All right. Well, we'll come back. God bless you. Good morning, Prophetess Bessie Allen.
Good morning. How you doing, Prophet Pastor Jackson?
All right. God bless you. I had a blast. Now, I know you are so proud of your fledgling.
Amen, amen, I am. I was just so amazed how, you know, they really, even before they began to go out to prophesy, Master Prophet Heaven, I was just so wonderful of my kids, you know, enjoying the other kids. And my son, he was eating at the table with us first, but
yeah.
Prophet Neil, he just left us. He was over there with, I think, your son, KJ, and the others. Because I was wondering where he was because he usually was eating with us, but he left us. And he just, but, I'm really proud of all my kids and, you know, the fledglings and all. It was just powerful. It was like a Youth United front on a mission, and it was truly amazing, Prophet Pastor Jackson.
Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, while we're on this rule of 11, this is generational curses and conventional crimes, covenantal crimes. I'm going to go ahead and say this right here. The blessings and the curses, the generational curses come because of thievery. But what happens when the generational blessings, see, and we're going to find out right here that usually they hit the third and fourth generation, the curses. God don't curse the individuals that do it, but he curses the children. And he curses the children. But God also blesses the children and the children's children. So now I'm going to, you look at that. You look at how your young prophet is flowing. So I wonder who did what. Somebody did something. I want to check that out. I wanted to see exactly, because we can look at Mother Jordan. We know what Mother Jordan did. Then look at her grandchildren. We know what, and the Master Prophet's grandmother, look at what they did when they were feeding the pastor. And look what happened to the children's children. See, the good man leaves an inheritance for the children's children. I'm going to tell you what, a wicked man must leave a curse. Uh-oh.
Oh.
A wicked man leaves a curse while a good man leaves the blessing. But we're going to get into this in just a second. God bless you. Let's see. Prophet Kevin Williams, God bless you, man of God. I know you're driving, but go ahead and greet us again. Okay, well, he might have hit his exit. Amen and amen. Prophet Cynthia Clark, God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, man of God. I stepped off for a minute, but I'm back on the line. How are you?
All right, well, we all got stepped off. They said the conference call is over, and it hung up on us.
And you know what? Right when that hang up came, another call came, and I took that, and I'm just trying to jump back in and get in place.
Amen and amen. Well, we are glad that you are here. Maybe you'll get settled in and unpack. And we are about to work on this generational curses, chapter 6, and covenantal crimes. There are covenantal crimes, people of God. Crimes against God. Uh-oh.
Wow. You know, I found my book, so I am good.
All right, well, I got a check mark by your name, so we're going to be using you to read some of this, but we're going to work fast. I know that it is 10:40. It is 10:40, and we're going to work up pretty close to that 12 o'clock deadline, but because we know we got the power of prophecy. Pop Life is coming on. That pop radio, amen, we done redefined it. Not popular culture, but power prophecy, amen.
Yes, yes, amen.
Amen and amen. Let me see. God bless you, Prophet Prentice Vanderbilt. How you doing, man of God? I know you got your book.
Yes, sir. Got my book. Actually awake. Unpacking my clothes. Trying to get back into everyday life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you know what? I would probably wouldn't have my clothes unpacked until my youngest had to have my suitcase. He wanted my suitcase. Dad, I need your suitcase. They're going back down, and they just been running all across the United States. But I'm going to tell you what, next year they're going, not just next, but next Prophet College, I'm not leaving those rascals on the in the residence, not on this compound. They can't be here, not by themselves. But they cleaned up good before I got back. But I still, I was like, oh, no, no, y'all got to be with me from now on. So I don't have to hear nothing. Because you know when they, what they do about those PK kids, they had a house full.
I know they did.
Yeah, they had a house full. So it was just, it was pandemonium and mayhem. But
I know my mom said, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So.
Yeah, but you know what? They had to keep it out of the main living area because I got a camera in there. I was looking, y'all was looking at me. I was on my phone. I was looking at what they were doing. I had a few extra cameras, so they really didn't. They didn't get off the chain. But I'm gonna tell you what. What's not inspected? If you don't inspect, you ain't don't expect. You got to inspect. I'll be inspecting. Amen and amen. All right. We know we got Prophet Getchen in the background. God bless you, man of God. And we also have Prophetess Melody Hughley. How you doing? Okay, all right. God bless you.
She has a lot of noise in her background.
Yeah, yeah, she's going back on mute right now. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you, Prophetess Sharnita Richardson.
God bless you, Pastor Prophet Gregory Jackson. How are you doing today?
I am doing super, woman of God. And so I don't think I got a chance to greet you. Did I agree to meet you this time?
No, sir.
All right, now, why was that?
Well, I was there in spirit, but
okay.
I will be there in February 2018 for the prophetic turn-up, and I'm praying that it's the weekend of my birthday.
Okay. Now, all right, so do you know already know the times and the place and the space of the next Prophecology in February?
I don't have all of the information yet. I'll be waiting for the email. I did hear something about Times Square and Manhattan, I believe it was. I'm just hearing things, but it hasn't been confirmed yet.
All right. Well, let me see. Because I do not know. I was about to get it from you, so everybody else can hear. Prophetess Naomi, is there anything in concrete already on the next Prophecology?
You know what? We were asking Prophet Vanessa that earlier on the call, and she's saying that they're right now in the negotiation and getting all of those dates to us. We just know that it's either the weekend of Valentine's Day in the month of February or after the weekend. And usually it falls around, I think, President Week or President Day, so at least we have that Monday off or something like that.
Amen.
Amen.
Back to school. Amen. I never will. I remember when it was February the 21st, it fell on that weekend. That was the day that I went down. I remember my day was a Saturday. My day was a Saturday when I went down and was filled or given evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. I got my language, and then my walk changed. Amen. Wow and wow. Right there at Prophecology, people of God, that's a powerful, powerful time to be in and around and amongst the prophets. I don't know what you're going for, but I wanted my tools. And and it's so powerful that we are in the Book of the Month Club, and this is a part and a practice of tithing. See, when you get past that 11%, don't you know that when you're in the Book of the Month Club, it's going to be past your 11%. You want that 11%. You want to get there and get there as quickly as possible. All right. Well, let's see. If there's anybody else that I haven't greeted, go ahead and give me your name and tell us where you're calling from so we can greet you. All right. With that being said, I want to get started with Prophetess Bessie Allen, my good sister, woman of God. Would you start us right in the beginning of on page 53?
53?
Yes, ma'am. 5:3, chapter 6.
Oh, okay. So we started back at the beginning of chapter 6?
Okay. No, what page? I know we were in chapter 6. What page are we on in chapter 6? What do you know we left off at?
Page 58, the covenantal crimes of touching devoted things.
Okay. All right. Well, go right ahead. Come on.
Oh, okay. All right. When Joshua led Israel into his first battle victory, Joshua 7, God demanded the Israelites to tithe. The Israelites broke faith with regard to devoted things, Joshua 7:7. Achan, son of Carmi, of the tribe of Judah, took some devoted things, hence making the Lord angry. But the Israelites broke faith in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zebdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the Israelites. Joshua 7:1. A battle that should have been easy to win, according to verse 5, they lost. And it
wow.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at that. So when you touch the covenantal things, the things that we should not, when you go against what God says, you can get ready. Things are not going to go as planned. Prophet Prentice Vanderbilt, man of God, what do you think about that?
Wait a minute, I had to get off of mute.
Okay.
I know that no one wants something to get off course. But anytime you try to sneak something, most people fail to realize that God's still looking. You know, and the law is the law is the law. So don't be guilty doing that thing. You got to give to God first, because everything else hinges upon that. But the Bible says if you don't, it's like putting money in a bag with holes in it, Prophet Gregory.
Amen and amen. And Prophetess Novella Coleman, what do you got to say on that?
Pastor Prophet Gregory Jackson, to me it stands out about touching the devoted things, how God has things set aside, and as Prophet Princess Vanderbilt just stated about basically stealing something. The devoted things are not to be touched, and it's going to bring about a result which could be negative. Gregory Jackson.
Amen and amen. And if I'm remembering this Bible truth correctly, this Achan, he got a wedge of silver and a wedge of gold and hid it in the tent. And when he did that, they caused the next battle to go astray. They got beat down by a much lesser people. They got wore out. And then that's when they knew that God wasn't with them. See, God ain't with you when you withhold and when you steal. That's a covenantal crime. And it came with a covenantal punishment. He let them be overrun by the enemy. And it's the same thing that happened to Saul. When Saul held back the tithe. See, there's... the Lord said, go forth and destroy, utterly destroy, kill everything, everybody, kill all the cattle, kill all the sheep, all the oxen, everything, kill them all, kill everything from the people that had attacked the children of Israel when they came out of the wilderness. And that king had went up against the children of Israel just because he could, just because he wanted to be bad. And when he did that, it angered God. And so God had told the children of Israel to get some get back. Get your get back, go ahead and get them now. And when he did that, when Prophet Samuel told Saul to do them in, the prophet, the king, Saul, came back. And he did not do what was all was required. And he ended up being cursed. let's look and see what happened with him. What happened to him, he came back to the prophet with a bribe. And the prophet said, what is this lowing of oxen that I hear? What is this bleeding of sheep that I hear? And he said, look, I know that you said kill them all, and I brought back the king and the queen. Well, he brought back the king and the queen, and not only did he bring back the king and the queen, he brought back the oxen and the sheep, and he was trying to give it to the prophet, trying to give a bribe. And he told him, is not obedience better than sacrifice? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So if you do not be obedient, you will have a forced sacrifice. It won't go like you think. It won't go like you think. It will not go. Probably best, Alan, what do you think about that? It won't go like you think.
No, it's not like you said. It won't go like what you think, because obedience is just the key to everything. It's the key to everything. I can be paying my tithes and not be obedient, and my life be torn up because, you know, I'm out of integrity. I'm just doing what I want to do. So, you know, obedience has to come with everything, you know, and I would even put in reference to like part of prophecology. That's a part that Master Prophet asks for specific instructions to bring a certain amount, and there's nothing. He don't describe anything. He don't say what you're doing it for. Just give it to me. Just do that. And so, you know, just practicing obedience, you know, in everything, you'll be blessed every time. Favor, open doors, and as you were saying, you know, you have to do something right in order for your children to be blessed. It's not you, but you have to, you know, want to follow instructions, you know, because you want that not only for your life, but to flow on through your family, Prophet Pastor Jackson.
Amen and amen. So if you want it to flow on through your family, you might want to stay in line, because Saul's family was cut off. Saul was cut off, his sons were cut off, and they lost a battle. That battle just made me think. So it's with everybody. You know, you holding back, you sitting up here, you got this big treasury or whatever it is. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When God says give, do it. And especially with these rules and these principles. Okay, so next reader, continue on. And the next reader is going to be Prophet Princess Vandervall.
Hey, Prophet Gregory.
Yes, sir.
Let the next person read. I'm not on the right page.
Okay.
I was so busy unpacking that I'm...
Okay, well, no problem. No problem whatsoever. I don't know. Let me see if my friend Prophet Sharnita Richardson has her book out.
Yes, I do. I can read.
Okay, go right ahead.
In this account, Joshua tore his clothes and asked God why, and then God answered him. In verses 10 and 11, God told him that they transgressed against his covenant and committed a covenant crime. In verse 12, the Israelites could not stand before their enemies because of what they had done. God said he would not be with them anymore for touching the devoted things. Essentially, when they touched the devoted things, they rejected their covenant with God. Your tithes and offerings are devoted things before the Lord. Withholding your tithes and offering is a covenantal crime. When you give your tithes and offering, you declare that you are in covenant with the Lord. It speaks of your faith in his provision. It shows that you honor the Lord with your first fruits. You worship him with your 10%, and you acknowledge that he owns everything you have. You also recognize that when you give back your tithes, you bless everything you have. The 10% that you give makes the 90% that is left with you holy.
Amen. Wow. See, because you've given the sacrifice. You have given, and see, that's what ended up catching and causing the fall of man. When they touched the tithe, they touched the thing that was set apart, they touched the thing that was holy, they touched the thing, you know, the fruit of those trees in the midst, there were two trees in the midst of the garden. He said, of all these other trees you can have, but these right here, these are the tithe. He didn't say these are the tithe, those were not the word, but those were the tithe. He said, don't touch these trees. And in the day that you do, you will be just like this says, you will be have touched the accursed, the thing that will curse you. And it caused them to lose their life. Just because Adam didn't fall out dead right then and Eve didn't shrivel up didn't mean they were not dead. They suffered a spiritual death. They suffered a separation from God. They could no longer walk in the cool of the day with God. Prophet Cynthia Clark, what do you think about that? Just that touching the accursed thing, that about the 10% makes the 90% holy.
Yes. You know, it's really powerful. And, you know, the big picture that I see in that is that God has rules and regulations. It's just that you can't do things the way you wanted to do. God is a God of order. So he has a set way of doing things. You know, he talks about the tithe being the 10%. And if you do the tithe, then it like sanctifies everything else that you have. And guess what? Then you get to keep it. Because just because you have it doesn't give you access to keep it. If you don't do the 10% of it, then legally you're not really allowed to have it. It gets snatched, you know, through situations that occur in your life to take it. It's like having, you know, the pockets with the holes in it. It slips away from you. And so when I look at the big picture of this, I see that we have to hold ourselves accountable to know what God's rules and regulations are. Because you can't, you don't want to have something snatched and taken away from you just because you don't know. Ignorance of the law doesn't give you a pass for the law. So you can't use the I don't know. Because, see, the curse will still come to you. That's why you got to study to show yourself approved. What does the Bible say? How does God want me to live my life? You have accountability to find out how God wants you to conduct yourself. You have accountability to research the scriptures and find out how you should be living your life and put yourself in alignment with that. So when you learn about the tithe and understand it, then you know if your life has been cursed in the past and you know, oh, I didn't do my tithe, I didn't do my 10%. Now I understand why, and I have to get into alignment so I'm not cursed. So not knowing about the tithe, it doesn't keep the curse from coming to you. You can't say, I don't know, so you know, you can't hold me accountable. Oh, yeah, you're accountable. So that's why you want to study and find out about the tithe. What is God requiring from me? What is God saying? So I can start getting my life in alignment and in order according to the rules and regulations of God.
Amen, amen. This is an immutable fact. You know, just because you don't know about the covenant, just because you don't know about the law, don't mean you are not subject to the law. You ain't got to know nothing about gravity. But I tell you what, you roll off that bed and see if you won't fall.
Love it.
You ain't got to be no electrician to get shocked. You know what? You don't have to know be a farmer to cast a seed. Because it's going to return. Something is going to grow. You put something in the ground, something is going to grow. It's just the power of the soil, whether it's a seed or a weed. I'm going to tell you what, it may be a weed if you don't plant it. Wow, if you don't sow in faith, it could produce weeds in your life. Trouble. I'm calling trouble weeds. Trouble. From not being their principal. Okay, Prophetess Bessie Allen, pick up down at Akon's crime.
Right. Akon crime caused national defeat. Akon was a member of the prominent family of Zerah from the tribes of Judah. There was deep corruption in the heart of Judah. Jeremiah 3:12-14. Zerah's mother was a Canaanite woman named Tamar. First Corinthians, second chapter, fourth verse. First chapter and third verse. Who disguised herself as a woman dedicated to the fertility god Baal in order to bear a son for her dead husband. Genesis 38:12-26 verse.
Hold on. You know what? You know about that right there. When she did that, that was worse than some old scandal on all these new TV shows. These people, the Bible is can get scandalous because she tricked her father-in-law, who was a man of God. So he went down and fathered a child, and that's the one she turned up with his staff and with his signet ring.
Mm-hmm.
because they were talking about stoning her, if you remember. But that's on something totally different. Go ahead.
In Joshua 7:24, Achan appears to be a rich man with oxen plowing his fields, sheep for cash income, and donkeys for transportation. In today's context, a person like him would have tractors, marketable products, and trucks. He can be compared with Job in Job 1 and 2, or Abraham in Genesis 13 and 1. Achan's family owned the entire valley plain of Acre. If this was true, like the rich in ancient Israel and the wealthy and powerful in today's society, Achan would not have needed the things he took. He did not take it out of desperation and poverty. Unfortunately, a private sin can have public effects. Even if Achan acted in secrecy, the effects of what he did were public. Because he had touched the devoted things, he caused Israel to sin and to be guilty, which they warned about in Joshua 6:18 and repeated in Joshua 7.
Wow and wow. So here the master prophet is pointing out that Achan wasn't broke. Achan had it going on. Achan had wealth. But he did a simple thing. He got greedy. He coveted. He took a hold of some things that he had no business putting his hands on, and they were a wedge of silver and a wedge of gold. But that wedge of silver and that wedge of gold were dedicated. They were dedicated to service of worshiping an idol, not worshiping God. So those things, that's what had that real serious effect around it, because it was, you know, some things are dedicated for a right purpose, but some things are dedicated for an unholy purpose. And I don't know about the conversation around how this young man was born. May have an implication on that or not, but I'm pretty sure it just because she could. Wow, she went about it the wrong way to even bring him into the world, and he was dedicated. She was serving a god of fertility, not the one true living God. So, hey, Jesus, my God. Prophet Terry Sinsett, woman of God, what are you thinking about this?
Well, Pastor Prophet Gregory Jackson, this is powerful today. Well, I found the whole teaching, you know, on the 100, the 11% powerful, because it shows us how when we honor God with the 10%, it brings blessing. And when we touch the anointed, you know, when we touch that 10%, it brings a curse. So it's just a powerful truth, just like you said. If we don't honor the law of gravity, we're going to find that we'll fall off that bed. Or, you know, the same with tithes, you know, that law, that spiritual law of honoring the tithes unto God. It's a